Welcome. You are listening to the Parkway Podcast.
I think it's, I was thinking about it in my head that I definitely don't envy you and Jamie's position in that you're trying to honor what your parents' generation was, but at the same time as you two having kids, you're trying to push forward so that they can have a fresh touch from God. I think that's one of the more difficult things to do because you want to honor both, but at the end of the day, you do have a responsibility to push forward for your kids to have that fresh touch, that it's not, God doesn't have grandkids, that he just has kids.
Hi, I'm Carissa, the communications director here at Parkway. I have gathered a few people in my office today to talk about our legacy project. The heart of this project is to restore, rebuild, and revive various areas and structures here at Parkway. But first, I want to introduce you to everyone. First up is Pastor Jay, our lead pastor.
What's up, everybody?
Then I have Jaden Smotherman representing our young adult generation.
Hola, everybody.
Then John Anderson, a church board member and elder.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And finally, Jamie Zalimbo, our women's ministry leader.
Hello, friends.
We did a two-part series on legacy back in February that led to the launch of our miracle offering on Easter Sunday. If you haven't listened to all of these episodes yet, you can listen on our website at parkwaycc.com/sermons, on our YouTube channel at Parkway Christian Center, or wherever you are listening to this podcast. So to kick us off, Pastor Jay, can you give us the heart for the legacy project that led to the miracle offering on Easter Sunday?
Yes, there's this phrase called futuring your church, and the idea is that nothing can stay stagnant, because if it's stagnant, it dies. And the idea of Parkway, how it was founded, and all the great pastors and leaders and church people that have been a part of this church have taken bold risks to make sure that the gospel is preached all over the world. Our building was built on a swamp, and so the incredible opportunity of honoring our past can only happen by taking risks and living by faith in the future. And that's what Legacy Campaign is all about. The best way to honor your past is to have a vision for your future. And we're going to talk about the tension between all of it.
Can you give us an update on how much has come in so far on our legacy fund?
It is a crazy thing. I think my faith expectation was that we were going to have $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 given. The idea of what actually came in blew away our expectations. And I don't know if I need to raise my faith up. But as of today, $213,755.91 has come in for the legacy fund. Incredible offering. I don't even know what to even say other than thank you and thankful for a church that's getting behind what God's doing and looking forward to the future. We're so thankful that we get to have a conversation with the Jays today, Jamie, John, Jade, and Jason. We're going to solve all the world's problems in the next 20 or 25 minutes. But really just walking through relationship with so many of our church folk that have had so many great memories of what church has been and how it's meant to them, but also understanding that we have to move forward as a church. We're going to tackle a couple of really interesting questions. And I just want to pause here and describe to you why it's important to go through a question-asking phase. When you read the Gospels, the Gospel records 307 questions that Jesus asked to people around him. He was asked 187 questions, and he only gave 3 questions that he directly answered. But there were a lot of questions in the Gospels. And so to actually have a culture of question asking, we've been asking some of the questions like, what's working in our church? What's broken in our church? What's missing in our church? And also, what needs actually more clarity? What's been at our church that actually needs some redefining and some re-upping? And so that seasons of question asking has led us really to launch the Legacy Foundation. And so we're going to ask some more questions, and we don't even have to come up with answers today, but hopefully the people that are listening to this podcast can be a part of some of the answers that we're going to be asking. And so one of the questions that we're going to ask today is the tension between honoring the past and forging into the future, and from everyone's unique perspective, what does that look like? So John, you're going to represent the more mature believer in the church. And we're not going to put an age on it, but the more mature believe you've been around church for a long time, especially Parkway. What have you been hearing? What is the tension between the opportunity to move forward, but also making sure that we don't forget those that have, man, sacrificially given out of their lives and everything that they are?
Well, hopefully I am a good representation of those that are of my age group, because I am a bit older. I think I started coming to church here in 1982, but we've had other projects, legacy projects that we've not titled that, but projects that we were hoping to build things. And there was some bad experiences along that way. We started one and then it just didn't take hold. And several years later it was picked up. So I think there is a tension there. I'm believing as I've grown older and I'm starting to see things differently, that that's changing. I think that, when Paul talks in Philippians chapter 3 about putting those things which are behind me and pressing on, I think many times that we get hung up on the things that are in the past. And I know what the reference there is. It's those things that the enemy uses to pull us down sometimes, the bad things. But there are also good things that happen that we stay attached to that doesn't let us move into the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real difficult thing for older folks to get past, but I think we're in a place where we're really starting to move past that, more excited towards the future than we are holding on to those things that are behind us.
You mentioned something that's very interesting, because it's actually freeing to those of us like Jamie and I who are part of the spearhead leading the church. Oftentimes we can get so fraught with fear that we don't move at all. But looking at your generation, why is it that we only talk about the victories, but we don't ever talk about the things that actually didn't come to fruition? Like when I think about my legacy, my childhood pastor, he pastored this wonderful ministry in Marysville for almost 30 years, but that was his third stop. He went to Corning, went to Gilroy, and the vision and the plan that he had for his life and ministry, it didn't end well in those two spots. And it wasn't until he ended up in this unincorporated town called Linda that God really began to do something good. But I actually find, as I've gotten older, I've actually found more solace in knowing that my hero actually swung and missed every once in a while and didn't bat 1,000. And I think actually it would be freeing for us to, as we start this, to know that failure is an option, and that's okay, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't swing. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I want to thank you for just being vulnerable in that part of the conversation and say that there is a tension there because of tried times where we've tried to do things and they've actually fallen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think sometimes too that we look at failures then, it seems like it failed back then, but now as you move down the road, you look back and you realize, no, it didn't fail at all. God had his hand on it from the very beginning, and that what we thought was a failure was not. It happened and it came to fruition in God's time. And sometimes I think we take a hold of those things and think we have control of those things. And so failure feels like failure, but God in his perfect timing, because we get down the road, we can look back. Everything and the way that it happened mm-hmm. for a purpose. So if we can just not get frustrated in doing well and just push ahead. And part of Jamie's message on Sunday, which I thought was amazing, was talking about change. Change is going to happen. Yep. And we just need to understand that, not take too much not give too much credit to what we consider failure, because it might not be what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be freeing of understanding that there's not really failure in the kingdom, there's just lessons being learned. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of the pressure off of the things that keep me up at night as a pastor, because I recognize coming into a church like Parkway, there was big shoes to fill. And the only way that we're able to fill them is not feeling the pressure of having to be someone else or to have a gifting that maybe was you're trying to replace. The truth is we're all such unique members of the body that no one can replace us, and we can't replace others. But the idea of the best way to honor, as I've heard the names, the Sumners and the Webbers, and you know the list can go on and on of these wonderful men and women of God who have sowed their life into kingdom work, not Parkway work, but to kingdom work, and to actually honor their legacy by charging forward. And recognizing every time you decide to charge forward, the enemy's not just going to sit back idly and act like it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And we've seen that from the moment that the Legacy Campaign actually got launched. Our church went into a crazy time of redefining and decisions that had to be made about wonderful ministries that we've led for so many years. But to know that it's okay. As long as we're living by faith, the Lord is going to actually be our protector in some areas of our life, and he's actually going to expose some things that we need to grow in, that there's actually not an outcome that we're going to be afraid of because he's involved. But Jamie, would you speak to our age group And I'm assuming that you're my age. You could be younger, probably years younger than me.
Probably.
Yeah. But just the idea of that pressure that we feel of now being the spearheads of this season that we have, of having family that's above us, family that's below us. And we dearly love our family that's above us, but we recognize that if we don't move in the way that God wants us to move, our kids are going to miss out on what God has for them in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of being in this middle place, if you will, between the two groups that you just mentioned. It's just a very interesting thought to think of when you think back on your church experience and your relationship with the Lord and how church played such a big role in that for many of us, as I often refer to myself as a church brat. And right. Now that I'm at the stage of life that I'm in, realizing I'm in that stage of life of where people who were leading me in my younger years and early adult years, I'm those people now. And so that's definitely a very big weight, and just realizing, man, I have to engage now in the way that I saw those people then. We are those people now, in the sense of kind of taking the lead and stepping up and doing more maybe than we've have. You know, so a lot of us are married, we have kids, we're in a good routine. And so now the Lord is calling more out of us, and he wants to grow our capacity for that. And we have to engage with what he's doing if we want the younger generations to experience what we got to experience and see the Lord move in the ways that built our foundation and grew the roots that we have because of church family relationships. And we have to start to provide that if it's not happening already, if we want our children to experience what we did and fall in love with the church as God has it.
Yeah. That older generation engaged very well with the kingdom mindset. I mean, growing up, church was Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Church was more than just a passive commitment. It was something that you gave your life to because Jesus established it.
Yes.
That also created an era of legalism that you and I's age group was raised in.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then we sort of try to swing the pendulum so far the other way that I think that we are creating another kind of environment that if we're not careful, we'll overcorrect in to the next generation, where church has become something that we just passively do. Statistics say like 1.5 times every month. And how can you actually be part of a family when you only show up to the table?
Right.
On average, what is that, 15 times a year, 16 times a year? So there's some things, there's like the self-correction that has to take place in our generation as leading the church. And that's the kind of weight that I feel as a pastor is trying to raise. Like every generation is going to have their pros that they do really well.
Absolutely.
And they're going to, one of my friends said, it's your front side strengths and it's your backside weaknesses. And that kind of idea is making sure that you understand those two and are very aware of them. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the generation that's following you? You know, you've been a youth pastor before. You've now raising children. You now are a women's ministry leader. To give the next generation the kind of perspective of honoring, but also forging forward, and recognizing that there does have to be an uptick of engagement. Like, what would you say to that? It's a wonderfully open-ended question.
That's a very open-ended question. I would say many, many, many things. But the first one that comes to mind is for them to just start to see themselves as a part of the family. Yep. So I think sometimes we wait too long as children. There's just such these gaps between children's ministries and what's happening in big church. And just the fact that we even refer to it as that, there's such this separation. And I remember as I was becoming a young adult, all of a sudden realizing, oh, I should pay attention to what the pastor's saying because it might apply to me. Yep. Whereas before, I would just always check out because I was a child. It was for mom and dad. It was for grandma and grandpa. It didn't have to do with me. It was a little boring. And so it was the time to write notes to my friends. But as I started becoming an adult and I didn't go to children's church anymore, I had to stay in big church. There was a time very much in my life where I realized I needed to start paying attention because this really did apply to me. And so I would encourage the younger generation, it applies to you now. Start engaging now and do your part of bridging that gap, however the Lord might be having you do that. And don't just see it as big churches for the older generations. I'm a part of young adults or a youth group, but it's a beautifully blended family for sure.
Yeah, to understand and actually as an older generation give place. I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking about most of our Thanksgiving dinners have an adult table.
Yes.
And we have a kids table. Mm-hmm. Most of our churches are set up to where we're sectioned off by age. We've got our seniors that meet on Thursdays and our youth that meets on Wednesdays. And we separate our families and what we, I don't think even intentionally do. We unintentionally make it seem to our young adults that you're wanted and you're valued and you're the future, but you don't get a voice. And oftentimes that voice of the young adults is the one that wants to bring the adventure to the church, and we miss out on the adventure. Mm-hmm. And so to have, you know, someone like Jaden here representing, so no pressure, Jaden, the dreams and aspirations of our younger church. I like the way one friend put it that I met this year. They said, you know, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. The adults don't get the real Holy Spirit, and the kids don't get the watered down version. It's mm-hmm. when the church is really in operation, the church is working through mature men and women of God, regardless of age. Like, you're not too old. There's never a time when you retire from being a Christian or on fire Christian. And there's actually never an age that's too young where we're not supposed to look down on that. Mm-hmm. You know, so Jane, from your perspective, you know, young adult perspective, what would you say to that are some of the challenges that may be facing your age group? Some of your thoughts on this conversation, and we're not going to hold you to having some kind of polished answer, but just like, what is your takeaway of this short conversation so far?
I think it's, I was thinking about it in my head that I definitely don't envy you and Jamie's position in that you're trying to honor what your parents' generation was, but at the same time as you two having kids, you're trying to push forward so that they can have a fresh touch from God. I think that's one of the more difficult things to do because you want to honor both, but at the end of the day, you do have a responsibility to push forward for your kids to have that fresh touch, to that it's not, God doesn't have grandkids,
yep.
that he just has kids.
Yep.
And I think this whole, I'll cut that out.
That's all good.
You
self-edited. I like the way that you self-edited right there.
I did.
Why did you self-edit right there? Are you afraid that the older generation or my generation can't handle it? Or do you feel like there's things that, like, we say that we're wanting honest conversations with young adults, but we don't feel like we can handle it? Why did you self-edit?
Just trying to honor what was. Trying not to be rude in the presentation. And obviously my heart behind it isn't anything what the old generation or what happened, it didn't matter. But coming up on my generation, that we do need a fresh touch from God. Mm-hmm. That my generation does need God to move again. I am reminded of how you and Mom would actually talk about New Life and how growing up that everybody would be like, wow, look what happened back then, and moving to Harvest, and it happened for you guys. And now that I am moved up here with you guys, it's the same exact thing where, you know, Harvest was great, but now I'm wanting my fresh touch. Yeah. I'm wanting God to break through to my generation, because I could see it. I could see the need throughout this valley that God needs to move from all the young people's hearts right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea that every generation has to experience their own move of God, and to create an atmosphere where, because we're believing for the next generation's move of God, that we're not denying the wonderful things that have happened in past generations' moves. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to be is, we don't want to be an example of when God said he looked for a man among them and found no one.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we'll create this mentality that our generation is the most important, or our move is the most important. And the moment that you start viewing through the lens of me and mine as the most important, you're going to lose the heart of God very quickly. And so, like, I recognize, you know, our church facilities don't equate moves of God. I mean, Jesus was born in a manger. Mm-hmm. Moves of God can happen at any time in any place. But to say that facilities do not speak to when God moved, I mean, you can drive up the I-5 corridor, and most of our Assemblies of God churches were planted in the 50s and 60s, and most of them have stayed very stagnant because they haven't, the baton hasn't been handed very well to say, hey, in the same pioneering spirit the church was birthed, is the same pioneering spirit that the church is going to have to be rebirthed to the next generation. So I appreciate the fact that you as a young adult are self-editing, but I do think that we have to create the environment that we can have the ability to say things wrong even if we don't mean them that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can still remember being raised in my home's church, and I remember preaching my first sermon at 18 or 19 years old and really feeling like I was preaching a message for our church at that moment, only to have everyone come up to me after the service and like pinch my cheeks and go, "That was really cute," like I was still in my Royal Ranger uniform. And we have to be careful that we don't do that to the next generation. We have to make sure that we give place for people to grow. And, you know, the idea of judging, people will talk about that a lot in the church world. But judging, really, in the way that I have interpreted Scripture, is basically saying that where you're at is where you're going to end, and not giving people the opportunity to grow. And we do that. The age group that we do that the most with is our kids and our young people. And I believe there's coming a day, Jaden, where you're going to grab the pulpit at our church one day, as the Lord wills, and people aren't going to have the same reaction to Jamie and I that they did to you, but we're going to allow your generation to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's going to start by being able to have honest questions and dialogue. So way to self-edit, but also hopefully there's not a day where we don't need disclaimers as we move forward. What is your guys' maybe one final question? What is the apprehension that you guys are feeling or sensing, and maybe some words of wisdom about, you know, dreaming and moving forward? Like, what are you guys, John, back to you. Is there any apprehension?
Well, I don't feel any apprehension myself. I'm hopeful for the people in my age group, but I've not felt any of that kind of apprehension. I think sometimes we make more of it than really is there. And even listening to Jaden as he shared, in self-editing like that, I need to hear what Jaden has to say. And it needs to be unfiltered. It needs to be spoken to me in truth. And when I'm in fellowship now in the congregation or church, and I see young people responding to that move of the Holy Spirit, as an older person, seeing that really is a motivator to me. That causes me to be less apprehensive probably than I would be. I can see God moving, and I can see Him moving across the board with people my age, with people your and Jamie's age, with Jaden, those young people that got up and spoke a week ago on Sunday. That spoke to my heart. I, as an older person, need to hear that. And I could maybe feel some apprehension if I wasn't seeing what I'm seeing. And I truly see God moving, and that apprehension, I don't think, for me at least, it's just not a thing.
Yeah, the young generation that's coming up, they are bright, they are talented, they are gifted, but they are keenly set on making sure that they get advice from people that they can trust. We are raised in such an environment, the term fake news has been coined. This generation, Jaden's generation, doesn't know a world that hasn't been in war. They don't know a world that most of the news that they have received has turned out to be fake. And a lot of adults don't understand, because they've been in kind of an environment, raised in an environment where you could trust certain entities and structures. And so I've watched, even as interns have spoken, where the immediate reaction of the older generation is to go train the younger generation void of relationship. And if I can give any advice as someone in the middle, would be, before you actually give any advice to the upcoming generation, make sure you become a trusted voice to where you can actually listen to rather than talk first. And I think that will actually go a long way to actually bringing generations together. Because I do think Jaden's generation doesn't need to self-edit anymore. They need to be able to come to the table. And also the older generation. I go to Traditions almost every Thursday, and I love that group. They love Jesus. It's a time when I get to go and get to just worship with people that cover me in prayer. That generation also doesn't need to self-edit, but there has to come this common goal of saying, hey, we're gonna walk forward in the future with God has with us, not separate, but together. What would be the apprehensions of the 30-somethings? And I say that tongue-in-cheek, and we're laughing because I'm actually 42. But what would be the apprehensions of our age group?
Probably to go back a little bit, John, to what you said earlier about the failure of just not wanting to get it wrong, and just having the experience that some of us do, that it was so monumental for our faith, and it's why we're here today as a part of a church family. I'm wanting that so badly that we are too maybe hung up on not wanting to fail, not wanting to get it wrong, or seeing attempts made before and then just the doors close. But a dear friend once many times told me, if you get it right the first time, then you probably waited too long to try it. And so I think there's such truth in that, where it's, we just got to try to set the stage for where we feel the Lord's going in order to help raise up the next generation or give them a platform, but also honoring those older generations. There's just such a soft part of my heart for these older generations, because they have such wisdom and such love for the Lord, and they've lived a lot. I was going to say that with such emphasis. They lived a lot of life, and that just makes me sound like I'm calling them old. But just recognizing there's so many similarities between them. Like everything that you've said right now about Jane's generation, for the most part, I think you could easily also be talking about John's generation and our generation. There's so many similarities. And so just recognizing we have so much to offer one another. And when we do it in the way that the Lord set us up to do it, powerful things will happen.
Yep.
And recognizing we can glean so much from one another in the house of God.
Yep. Let's purpose in our heart from this conversation, those of you that are listening, maybe driving through town or in the middle of a workout, let's purpose in our heart to start by not categorizing our family in categories. We're the family of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible talks about elders. It doesn't talk about elders being a certain age, just spiritually mature. I mean, we've all met older people that aren't mature, and we've all met younger people that are mature. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of the things that we can take away from this conversation is making sure that we understand that the church moving forward needs to not be broken down into so many subcategories, like what we're seeing in tribalism in politics in our nation. I mean, we have divided everybody by race, by color, by gender, by socioeconomical status, by rural and urban. You know, we've done this to the detriment of our country, and let's not do it to the detriment of our church, the kingdom, the thing that's going to last forever. And so my hope in you know, moderating this conversation is to say, yes, the best days are ahead, but that's not to infer that there wasn't good days behind. Right. And to say that we can dream in the future doesn't mean that we can't say that there weren't powerful dreams in the past. But really to ask ourselves the question, again, in the spirit of a season that we're in question asking, is what kind of environment are we leaving our children? Are we leaving our young adults and our young people the environment to dream and be able to fail and that be okay as well? Like, I don't want to put the pressure that's on our generation onto the next generation. Right. Yeah. I want the Jadens of this world to know that waiting to do the right thing is often the wrong thing. Yes. Just to go and do it. You know, and so what would you say to, I mean, you've got generations above you talking to you right now, Jaden. What would you say? Is there a pressure on you, or is there a freedom coming on you to be able to dream and do incredible things for the Lord?
I think going back to the beginning of this whole conversation was, you want to honor what was. You don't want to take for granted what God did, or take away that what God did didn't mean anything, because it was the move of God. You know, what God did was for that generation, but now we're ready for ours, our coming up, I guess you could say, for God to move in our hearts and our lives.
Yep. We want the Holy Spirit. It might come with a new song. Mm-hmm. It might come with a new method, but the message is never going to change.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's going to be the same Holy Spirit that's going to move in power. We are convicted at Parkway about creating an atmosphere where God's presence can be here to offer challenging words and to give people an opportunity to respond. We don't want to just talk about the Holy Spirit as though he's dead. We want to talk about him and give him place, the rightful place that he has in pointing people to the cross. And as I was watching Jamie speak on Sunday and watching many members of our congregation answer an altar call. An altar call, for those of you that are listening, is basically an opportunity to respond to God's word and leading. And at a place to where we surrender and sacrifice our heart and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I was watching as tears were being shed, as lives were being transformed, that yes, the church of Jesus Christ is still alive, is still seeing transforming lives happen. And to be a part of that, is something that we all generationally want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. So there's an invitation. The invitation at the end of this podcast is to join. If maybe one day we're talking to future people that are checking out our church, if you want to be a part of the church, I'm not talking about a local body, but a kingdom moving, spirit-led congregation, there's a seat available for you. And we want you guys to know that the best days are ahead because the best days were behind. And we are going to build on the platform that was here so that generations can build on our foundation. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
For those listening online, if you're excited about the legacy here at Parkway, or you want to know more about our history or get any updates on the Legacy Project, or if you want to be a part of the Legacy Project and give to the Legacy Fund, you can do all of that on our Legacy website at parkwaycc.com/legacy. We would love for you to be a part of the Legacy as we go all in together.